Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. How many of you have come to rejoice and be glad in it? Hallelujah. I am grateful to Almighty God for the opportunity to stand on holy ground one more time, to be in the Lord's holy place and to worship His name in the company of fellow believers. I give honor not only to the Spirit of God that abides here, but I also give honor to your pastor and to the First Lady, Sister Jackson, to Reverend Hilton and the members of the ministerial staff, to officers, members, saints, friends, visitors, everybody who is somebody in the eyes of the Lord. I greet you in the matchless, marvelous, perfect, and perfecting name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm especially grateful that my husband had the opportunity to join me and to worship with me this morning. Amen. He is indeed my storm walker. We got married on the day Irene hit. We went away for our anniversary and met the hurricane in the islands that shut down the Republican National Convention. We relocated from Brooklyn to Orange County, New York, and met Sandy. And so I just thank God that in the midst of internal and external storms, He has remained tried and true. And for that, I give God praise. This morning, I draw your attention to a single verse found in the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 17. And these few words are found. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. For the next few moments, I just want to preach from the subject, speak life. Speak life. Let us pray. God, with a heart filled with praise and thanksgiving, I come before you, thanking you for another opportunity to stand on holy ground and to proclaim your word, God. Thank you, God, and I acknowledge that there is no preaching that can be done except the divine preacher show up. And so we ask right now that you would take me and that you would hide me behind the shadow of your cross under the very drippings of your blood. We ask that I would decrease so that you can increase until it's less of me and it's more of you, until it's no more of me and it's all of you. Because, God, we didn't come here because we needed to see Raquel. We came that we might see Jesus. So we pray that you would make me so transparent that your glory would be seen. Grant me clarity of thought, precision of speech, power to proclaim your word. And we pray that your word would go forth and that you would accomplish all that you would desire to do in this place at this time. And whatever you see fit to do, we'll be careful to give your name the praise and the glory and the honor. And we shall say that Jesus did it, because it's in His name that we pray. Amen. This morning, I wish to begin with a question, because I know that the theme for today is worshiping the God who makes all things possible. We're all here gathered together in the sanctuary. Many of us may be active members of the people of God called church. But I need to ask you, in light of this morning's scripture, in light of your present circumstances and all that you've been through, in light of your acknowledgement that our God is the God who makes all things possible, are you more fascinated, fixated, and focused on death or on life? And when I speak of death, I don't just mean physical deaths. I'm not asking about suicidal or homicidal thoughts or your musings on your mortality. I'm talking about the demise or the destruction of any area or any facet of your life. Because if the truth were told, if some of our lives were made into movies, they would be called Night of the Living Dead, with the appropriate sequels of Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and Land of the Dead. Yes, we're alive. We're here with a reasonable portion of health and strength, blood running warm in our veins, but parts of our lives are dead. Spiritually, we're alive, but some of us professionally dead, or our professions are alive and our personal relationships are dead, or our personal relationships are alive and our finances are dead, or our finances are alive and our spiritual lives are dead, or any combination or variation in between. Some of us have life and death so well integrated into our living spaces that if we were a house, we'd have a graveyard in the garage, cemeteries in the cellar, and burial grounds in our bathrooms. You see, even as the people of God serving and singing about, worshiping and witnessing about a God who makes all things possible, we so often focus on death and speak out death and expect death. There are some areas of our lives where God has moved powerfully, even done the impossible, and yet we still haven't grown in faith. God has supplied our needs, given increase, opened up the windows of heaven, and never left us empty, but all we still remember is death. When things were tight and what we didn't have instead of what we were given, and what could have happened and all we could have lost, and how close we got to the edge, and now we're struggling in times of prosperity or times when God has just been faithful to us to give according to God's word, to step out on faith regarding our finances, to not allow present lack to overwhelm us, cause us to worry or lose sleep, to accept that God and not people, not even our jobs, is the provider, that the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I mean, God has delivered some of us from the hands of the adversary, made our enemies into our footstool, set tables before us in their presence. God has shown us beyond a shadow of a doubt that what God has for us, it really is for us, and that our future lies in God's hands, and that our destiny is found in God's will. But all we remember is death, what they almost did, how they put us out, and who didn't support us. And now we can't take the next step or do the new thing because we're still afraid of what people might do. And the crazy thing is, we would readily agree. We would give a hearty amen to anyone who declared that nothing is too hard for our God and that with God all things are possible, and yet we still speak death even though death is what we do not want. Maybe we need to consider that the problem we face may not be our lack of money or our lack of might or our missing provisions or even mustering enemies. Sometimes the problem is just our mouths. Sometimes we are literally talking ourselves out of our blessings and our breakthroughs, talking ourselves out of our next level and our new season, talking ourselves out of answered prayers and a new anointing. Sometimes the greatest hindrance to our witness and our worship and our walk is our talk. The fact that we still speak death, sometimes in the form of fear and doubt and negativity. We speak death with our cannots and our have-nots and our will-nots because of what almost happened, what could have happened, or maybe what actually did happen. But if we are here today, then it means that in spite of what could have happened, or what almost happened, or what actually did happen, that we're already more than conquerors. That if we aren't already a conqueror, then we can be victorious over whatever it is that is facing us right now. Because there comes a time in everyone's life when we have to assess the burial grounds and the cemeteries and the graveyards in our lives. We have to evaluate the places where things have died and stuff is buried. And then we need to get some understanding and then determine whether or not we need to wait on a resurrection or simply walk away, because some stuff is dormant and it's waiting for its season to bloom, but some stuff is dead and it is never coming back. So let me ask you an Easter question close to Advent. Why are you still seeking the living among the dead? Because Christians were not created to live in cemeteries. God's children were not made to inhabit graveyards. And born-again believers are not saved to set up housekeeping in burial grounds. And forgiven sinners are not formed to tend funeral pyres. And if we really want to worship the God who makes all things possible, we need to take some time and do some personal evaluation, make some decisions, because dead stuff needs to go in order for us to have room for what is still living. You see, I think that's what the psalmist decided. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. He decided to focus on life even in the midst of death, because in this life, stuff dies. People die, opportunities die, relationships die, careers die, health die. But whatever you do, as long as you are in the land of the living, don't let your hope die. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how long the wait, you let hope live inside of you. You hold on to the promise of God, who God is and what God can do, because the Bible says that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. So you decide to live no matter how impossible things seem to be right now, because by the fact that you're sitting here today means that whatever you've been through, it couldn't stop you. And whatever they did to you, you survived it. And whatever they took, they couldn't get it all. And whatever they tried, they didn't succeed. Because if the devil or some people in your life had had their way, they would have taken you out by now. Be not deceived. The devil's plan was not to inconvenience you. It was to kill you, but you kept on breathing. It was to steal from you, but you still got something left. It was to destroy you, but you did not stay down. You may be broke, busted, and disgusted like Ronald McDonald. You may be sitting on a fence trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Like Paul, you may be afflicted, but you are not crushed. You may be perplexed, but you're not in despair. You may be persecuted, but you are not forsaken. You may be cast down, but you're still not destroyed. So when adversity comes your way and hope begins to fade, you just declare the works of the Lord. That you've been young, now you're a little bit older, but you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That the Lord is your chosen portion and your cup, he holds your lot. And the boundary lines for you have fallen in pleasant places. And even when weeping endured for a night, joy came in the morning. When you had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you didn't have to fear any evil, because God was with you, and his rod and his staff, they comforted you. And in your time of need, he still gave you your daily bread. And then he supplied your needs according to his riches and glory. He gave you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, or running over. Or he just took the little bit you had and stretched it and made it much to take care of what you needed. Declare the works of the Lord. Declare how when you messed up, God was faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to cast your sin in the sea of forgetfulness and counted it against you no longer. Talk about how God gave you a clean slate and a do-over and another chance and one more time. I mean, if you're gonna talk, then talk about how in your time of trouble, God was a very present help, that his name to you was a refuge and a strong tower that you could run in and be saved. And when the enemy came in, it was like a flood that the Lord lifted up a standard. And God arose and your enemies were scattered. Or maybe talk about how God moved your mountain, or at least gave you the strength to climb over it. How he bore your burdens. How he opened a door or answered a prayer. Testify about how they put you out, but God put you back in. Or how they knocked you down, but God picked you back up. Or how they passed by you and God picked you out. And then he prepared a table before you in their presence, anointed your head with oil until your cup overflowed. And now you know that you know that you know that you know that his goodness and his mercy follow you each and every day of your life. Just declare the works of the Lord, who makes all things possible in your life. Then you just decide you're going to live. You see, what I need for us to understand is that the content and quality of who we are isn't going to be found in our dying. It's going to be found in our living. You see, I understand that the cross is the central symbol of our faith. And on Good Friday, I will shout and celebrate the fact that he wouldn't come down from the cross to save himself, and that he decided to hang there and die to save you and me. And every first Sunday, like you, I feast on the Lord's broken body with faith and thanksgiving in my heart because he died for me. I drink his blood that is more precious than silver and gold, more precious than the blood of bulls upon altars slain, knowing that that blood was shed for me. And if you want to know how he died, I can quote Isaiah, and I can tell you how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. And then I can throw in a little bit of Paul, who says that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, that God proves his love to us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And like preachers who have come before me, I can tell you about how they hung him high and stretched him wide until the earth reeled and rocked like an old drunken man, and the sun refused to shine, and the tombs gave up their dead. But I want you to know it's not simply enough for me to tell you how he died this morning, because if you're going to live, then I've got to tell you how the God who makes all things possible lived too. That before there was a was, way back in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being, because what has come into being in him was life. It was not death. And this life was the life of all people. And in due time, the Word became flesh, stepped through 40 and two generations, was born a babe in the manger because there was no room in the inn. And then he grew in wisdom and years and favor with God and with human beings. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He lived so that we might have life, and that more abundantly. And he lived so that despite our impossible situations, we might live too. He lived so that when he saw a child, he blessed them, or a crowd, he taught them, or a cripple, he cured them. He lived so that when he saw the dead, he raised them, or the depressed, he cheered them, or a disciple, he called them. He lived so that when he saw the hurting, he helped them, or the hungry, he fed them, or a leper, he cleansed them. He lived so that when he saw the outcast, he included them, the possessed, he delivered them, or the sick, he healed them. He lived so that when he saw a storm, he stilled it, or a sinner, he forgave and saved them. And I don't know about you, but I'm a witness this morning that God is still making all things possible. That when God sees a mountain, he still moves it, or a burden, he bears it. When God sees a problem, he solves it, or hears a prayer, he answers it. I worship a God that makes all things possible, because when he saw my bills, he paid them, or had a need, he supplied them. Can I get a witness that when he saw your tears, he wiped them? And when you made a mistake, he erased it. I praise God, because when we give a tithe of our income, he increases it. When we need a word, he sends it. When we need strength, he grants it. All because he lived, not just died, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. He lives. Oh, yes, he does. And he lives to make all things possible by giving us life more abundantly. Life everlasting. Life eternal. And so my message this morning is simple. Speak life. Because you're going to live, my brothers and my sisters. No matter what it is you've gone through, speak life. Because the Bible says that you are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. Speak life. Declare that you shall live and not die. And so I've come just to speak life to your spirit and life to your soul. I pray that God bless your spirit, and by his words you be made whole. Whatever you do, don't you give up. You fight for your life. You shall live and not die, so that you can declare the works of the Lord. Because after all, you worship the God who makes all things possible.